will be in Joshua chapter 12. There's a 1998 book titled The Other Side of the River. The author's name is Alex Kotlowitz. The book takes us to a southern Michigan region. Here in this part of Michigan, separated by the St. Joseph River, are two towns, St. Joseph and Benton Harbor. Geographically close, they are worlds apart, a living metaphor for America's racial divisions. St. Joseph's is a prosperous lakeshore community and 95% white, while Benton Harbor is impoverished and 92% black. When the body of a black teenage boy, Eric McGinnis, from Benton Harbor, is found in the river, unhealed wounds and suspicions between the two towns' populations surface as well. The investigation into the young man's death becomes inevitably a screen on which each town projects their fears and resentments. The division of a river, a geographical feature, a river, can bring or can draw out the great division that is there between people. And as we in Joshua chapter 12 begin to look at the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, begin to settle into the land, Israelites may have, in fact, certainly did wonder in the back of their mind, what about the tribes who have to go back across the Jordan River to the land of their inheritance over there? The Jordan River is a big river. This is a major geographical separation between 2.5 of the tribes and the other 8.5 tribes. What will happen? How will this be navigated? I'll show you a picture of the 12 tribes in the Promised Land. You can see it on the screen. And going from the Sea of Galilee in the north to the Dead Sea in the south is the Jordan River. It doesn't look very big on this picture, but it's big. And you can see to your right, which would be to the east, will be the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the other tribes will be over here where Joshua has just won all these victories and taken down all these kings and these lands. How will Israel stay unified? And listen, here's all I'm saying. In chapter 12 of Joshua, we are deliberately reminded of the unity of God's people on both sides of the Jordan River, and we are encouraged and shown how to rightly together celebrate the victory of God. So we're going to look there this morning. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 12, and I'm going to read through it and pronounce a lot of difficult cities and kings' names and stuff, so you can pray for me as I read this. I won't make us all read it aloud together, which would be very difficult. But I love verse-by-verse expositional preaching. It's the main diet here at Fellowship Raleigh, and here's one of the reasons I love it, because as we dive into Joshua chapter 12, and for that matter, 13, 14, 15, all the way to chapter 24, you have no idea what's coming. We've covered all the key stories in Joshua that we know. Jericho, Joshua built the battle of Jericho, whatever. Anyways, we've covered it all. We've covered all those stories. Rahab, it's all covered. What's next? You don't know. Maybe you do. You're like, Matt, I know. I've been reading. Okay. Have you studied it, though? Because we're going to do that today. I love it. And I don't really know either. In fact, I've not even studied for chapter 12 this week. I'm just kidding. All right. Let me read it to you. We'll pray and we'll dive in to our message this morning. We're looking at unity and victory in Christ. Now these are the kings of the land whom the people of Israel defeated and took possession of their land beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. From the valley of Arnon to Mount Hermon, with all the Arabah eastward, Sihon, king of the Amorites who lived at Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and from the middle of the valley as far as the river Jabbok, the boundary of the Ammonites, that is half of Gilead and the Arabah, to the sea of Chinneroth eastward, and in the direction of Beth Jeshimosh to the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, southward to the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. And Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon and Salakah. And all Bashan to the boundary of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and over half of Gilead to the boundary of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the people of Israel defeated them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land for a possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the people of Israel defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley of the Lebanon to Mount Halak that rises towards Seir. And Joshua gave their land to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their allotments in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the Negev, the land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, one. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. This is really here. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Geder, one. The king of Horma, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Libna, one. The king of Adullam, one. King of Machanah, one. But who's counting? The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lesheron, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron, Meron, one. The king of Asphash, one. The king of Tanakh, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kadesh, one. The king of Jokamil, one. And Carmel, one. King of Dor and Naphath, Dor, one. King of Golem and Galilee, one. King of Tirzah, one, and all 31 kings. Hey. That would be a good back tattoo. All right, let me pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this word, and we're excited to see what's here for us. And we recognize, Lord, that your word does not return void, and that we believe in the full, inspired nature of the Holy Scriptures. And we're excited to see how your Holy Spirit will speak to our minds and hearts today and show us how Jesus is the hero of every story in the Bible, because he is the creator of all things and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. So the title is Record and Replay. And I think the reason for that title is, you see here, this is quite a recording. And the intent of it is that Israel would replay this, because there's key truth here. So record and replay, but we're looking at the unity and victory that we have in Christ. And so the first point this morning is this: record and replay the unity I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ who are different from me, who are across the river from me. It's interesting, actually, if you look at verses 1 through 6, this is covering the east side of the Jordan River. And verses 7 through 24 is covering the west side of the Jordan River. So, I mean, we literally have east coast, west coast. I mean, you can, if this will help you, just stay focused this morning when we're in 1 through 6. All right? Yep, east side. When we're in 7 through 24, all right, we got it. So, we're doing this today. That's what's happening. This is geography. And as we go through verses 1 through 6, again, the point is record and replay the unity I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. In verses 1 through 6, we're going to see the retelling of when Israel defeated these two kings named Sihon and Og. All right? Hereforth referred to as OG. Hey, that's good. So what's happening here is Joshua is retelling about battles and victories that he, in fact, did not lead Israel to. Moses did. These battles are not recorded in the book of Joshua other than we're reminded of them here. What you see here is a bunch of towns listed. You see a bunch of geographical features like a mountain, a river. This is just data that would have been very meaningful to them then. It may not make much to you because you don't know these towns or these rivers or these mountains, but for them, they would have known, okay, he's drawing the border. He's talking about that in powerful city. He's talking about those people. Oh, that feature, okay. And he's spelling it out. And I'm not going to read back through all of this, but you see in verse 2, he's talking about Sihon, the king of the Amorites. So again, we're on the west side, no, the east side of the Jordan River. This is the side where Moses was alive, where Moses led them to, where Moses led them in battle. Moses did not get to cross the Jordan River into what we know as the Promised Land. So this is on the east side of the Jordan River. The southern part of that region is Sihon. The northern part is Og. And these two kings have people, they have these regions, and Moses led Israel into defeating them. Okay. Why is this crucial? Why is this really important? What is the message here? This is the message. Listen, the battles against Sihon and Og by Moses were not in the book of Joshua. Joshua did not lead them to these battles. Why is that crucial? Think about it. Because, listen, here's what Joshua's doing. He's deliberately including these victories by Moses on the east side of the river because they are part of the true and bigger story. Because it's very critical that the tribes, as they go back across the Jordan River and settle, that would be Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, that they know, listen, that they're fully included in God's people. They have the same story. And chapter 12 makes sure that it's together. It's not two stories. It's one story. It's two books of the Bible, but it's one story. They have the same story. They have the same inheritance. They have the same leader. You say, what do you mean? It was Joshua and Moses. But did you see? In verse 6, it said, look at verse 6 again. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the people of Israel defeated them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord. Why does he repeat the servant of the Lord as a title twice in one verse? Why? I bet I know. In case anyone was forgetful or skeptical as to the legitimacy of these tribes possessing this land and being part of God's people, their leader was not Moses, it was the Lord. Moses was just the servant of the Lord, just as Joshua is God's leader for Israel in the book of Joshua. Okay, this is really, really big. As human beings and as Christians, in our minds, we all too often, we make an internal A team and B team. These tribes going across the river are not Israel B. There is no Israel B. It's one story, one leader, one inheritance, one people. We often make these divisions, this A team, this B team, along our theological lines. Well, those are kind of the charismatics. The Lord's still helping them understand Scripture. Or, oh, those are the Presbyterians. The Lord's still helping them realize the joy of their salvation. Oh, those are the Baptists. They just like potlucks. You know, we just think that there's an A team and a B team. We do it theologically. We do it culturally. People who are different from us, we see them as a little inferior to us. And we do it every way culturally. The point here is that Israel is being reminded in Joshua chapter 12 that their minority brother tribes across the river are fully included. Same leader, same inheritance, but the biggest point of all, same story. One story in Joshua chapter 12. These tribes were not Israel B. They're not JV to varsity. They're not Second Baptist to First Baptist. They're not Rangers versus Rovers. And I say that, that's meaningful to me. When I was a kid growing up, I played travel team soccer. And there was the A team in my city called the Rovers. And there was the B team called the Rangers. And I was always the best player on the Rangers, and I never made the Rovers. And to this day, I'll be on Facebook, unfortunately, and I'll see a Rover. I mean, we're like in our 40s now, right? And I see his profile, and I'm like, I don't think I can friend him because he's a Rover and I'm a Ranger. Isn't that crazy? But this is the way that these things impact us. We do this, and the important thing that we understand is that there is no Israel B. There's no church B. There's no Jewish Christian and Gentile Christian B. What divides the world should not divide the church. So, if these tribes across the river were to become divided from one another and to begin acting like they're not the same people, what's the problem? The problem is their story is too small. They need to get back in touch with their bigger and same salvation story. And that's the point of Joshua chapter 12. So friends, if Israel is unified across the Jordan River by a big salvation story involving Moses and Joshua, how much more can we and should we be unified together as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, across whatever geographic, cultural, theological preference barriers divide us? Ephesians 2 addresses this in the New Testament. Let me show you some of these verses. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. For through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. One story, the gospel. One leader, Jesus. One people, the church of Jesus Christ. One inheritance, our spiritual riches and inheritance in Christ. This is the great unity that we're to have together. And just to apply this in our lives today, the first thing I would say is unity does not mean uniformity. Okay, that's important. Reuben and Judah can be different, but they better find unity around their common big story. Right? So the next time you feel a river between you and a brother or sister in Christ, don't deny it. Don't pretend like there's not one. There is. There is a river there. But get to the bridge. Focus on the bigger story. Who you both are in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can't do that, your story is too small. Define yourself in relation to your brothers and sisters in Christ by your big story in common, not your small stories that are different. With God's help, we can do this, but we got to record it and replay it, our unity in Christ with our brothers and sisters who are different. So let's look now, record and replay the victory I have in Christ that's good for us through the ups and the downs of life. So here I want to just show you the faithfulness of God and the victory of God. So verses 7 through 8 is showing us how faithful God is. Now, remember, we were on the east side, and now where are we? The west side. That's right. So here we are in verse 7 through 8, and we're going to look at these verses. But before I read these verses, let me show you Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to put it up on the screen. You can write down in your notes verse 18 through 21, which really covers this whole passage, but let me just read to you part of it. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. the land of the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All right. This is God speaking to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 in 2000 BC. 600 years later, Joshua comes on the scene. The people of God, Abraham's ancestors, have been through a lot. They've been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. They've gone through famines. They've gone through all kinds of adversity. 600 years later, we read verses 7 through 8. Look for key similar terms. And these are the kings, verse 7, Joshua 12. And these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the people of Israel defeated on the west side of the Jordan. From Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak that rises towards Seir. And Joshua gave their land to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their allotments. In the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the Negev. The land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These are the same people, the same land that God promised Abraham 600 years earlier. You think Joshua is intentionally matching verse 8 to that verse in Genesis chapter 15? I do. 600 years later, a specific promise kept. I read this week of a World War II veteran named Harold Higgins. And he had a best friend that served with him in World War II. And he made a promise to his friend. His friend's name was Mac. That if Mac died in battle, he would bring a picture, some memorabilia, and find Mac's sister and give her a kiss. It turned out Mac did die in battle. Harold did not. He comes back. It took him 60 years to find Mac's sister. And in 2001, he found her, gave her this picture, gave her this memorabilia, and gave her a kiss. And you hear that story and you go, that is humanly amazing. And yet how amazed ought we to be at the promise keeping of our God? In so many ways throughout Scripture, but here the promise shown as kept in detail in Joshua chapter 12 is from 600 years earlier. And we see the detailed way that God is faithful to His promises. So we see here God is faithful. Again, the point, record and replay the victory I have in Christ through the ups and downs of life. God is faithful, but look, God is victorious. Replay the victory I have in Christ. So verses 9 through 24, we read that, and you saw how it was. I was reading through the list of all these kings. The king of Jericho, 1. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, 1. The king of Jerusalem, 1. The king of Hebron, 1. And it goes on and on. And it says at the end, there are 31 kings in all. And we read that, and we think, you know, wow, that's tedious, that's detailed, that's specific. Those names don't really mean much to me. But what's important is that we recognize that they meant something to them. There's a song that probably also doesn't mean much to many of us, but some of us will know it. It's a song by Billy Joel called "We Didn't Start the Fire." But he says in the song, you know, Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. But anyways, like, you hear that and you're like, oh, I know some of those names. That means something to me culturally because those are people, leaders, places that have to do with my life. Well, that was for Israel, what was happening. One scholar on Joshua says, these are not an excerpt from a dull archive. These are lyrics for a song. And so as we look and we read these verses, surely we notice the specificity, the counting that was happening, and the totality that was considered at the very end. It's easy when you're in the thick of yesterday's battle and tomorrow's battle to not stop and reflect on the cumulative total of God's victory for you. That's what we see. That's what's being modeled for us here by Joshua. We can learn from that. Amen? This is a typical ancient Near Eastern conquest list. This list in Joshua 12, verse 9 through 24, has been compared with similar lists from the Assyrian kings, from the Egyptian kings. It's just a typical list of conquested kings. And I think we should see from that what's being focused on here is the victory of God. And we should be encouraged to record and replay the victory that we have in Christ. If Israel is to look back on their own victories in Canaan and be filled with specific joy and confidence in God to the point of singing, how much more and how appropriate it is that we should look back and count the victory of God on the cross of Jesus Christ and be joyful and be confident in our daily lives. Let me read you this quote because I think this is important. Again, we are recording and replaying the victory that I have in Christ through the ups and downs of life. In his very classic book, John Stott, The Cross of Christ, he says this, and I'll read you this quote. It's impossible to read the New Testament without being impressed by the atmosphere of joyful confidence which pervades it. There's more I'm going to read. It won't be on the screen. There was no defeatism about the early Christians. They spoke rather of victory. Victory, conquest, triumph, overcoming. This was the vocabulary of the first followers of the risen Lord. For if they spoke of victory, they knew they owed it to the victorious Jesus. Isn't that interesting? It's impossible to read the New Testament without being impressed by the atmosphere of joyful confidence. That's challenging. And that's encouraging. Think about the victory I have in Christ and focus on it. In Colossians chapter 2, I want to show you a verse in Colossians chapter 2. As we consider Palm Sunday, as we consider Good Friday, Colossians 2 says this, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them by the cross. So think about that. The victory of Christ. The cross is not the defeat, and the resurrection is sort of like the comeback victory. That is not accurate. The cross is the victory. And the resurrection just speaks to it, announces it, validates it. Triumphed over them by the cross. That's just the New Testament version of Joshua chapter 12. Victory, triumph, defeat, conquest. Jesus for us. So how might we apply this? Well, I think one thing that would be very good for us to consider is the specificity of Joshua as he is recounting the victories of God. We often, when we thank God for things and when we recognize God's victory in our lives, we're so general. Our prayers, they're very general. Even our thoughts, it's just very vague even and just general. And yet, how much more helpful would it be to our own hearts and meaningful to God's heart if we were more specific? I love this quote coming from an author on a commentary for Joshua, Dale Davis. It says this, as faith gives thanks in detail, that faith is nurtured, encouraged, and takes on fresh heart to expect more mercies. When we are specific, when we are keeping track, taking names, and counting the victories of God at work in our life, and considering the ways in which the cross of Jesus Christ has been the victory over death, the victory over sin, the victory over condemnation, the victory over Satan, and the victory over the world. As we are considering these things, it doesn't just speak to God, it does a work in our heart. And that's an encouragement for us today. So we're to record and replay the unity we have in Christ and now the victory that we have through Christ. So let's close in prayer as the band comes back up to lead us celebrate this victory.